This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, an insider's eye on Pakistan. A filmmaker in residency in New Hampshire this weekend fills out the picture of America's most inconstant ally and the strains and strengths of married couples with ADHD. But we'll begin with other challenges to marriage. In the news this week, a federal court in California ruled that Prop 8, the state's ban on gay marriage, is unconstitutional. Also this week, Washington state lawmakers passed a bill to allow gay marriage. And here in New Hampshire, rallies were held both for and against traditional definitions of marriage. With this front in the culture war again roiling, we're taking a deeper look at the institution in question, marriage. Atlantic senior editor Derek Thompson wrote about trends in divorce, cohabitation, and marrying age and found some surprises in the numbers behind nuptials. Derek, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Conventional wisdom is an institution in decline. The title of your article is The Death and, in parentheses, Life of Marriage in America. So which way is it leaning?
Right. Well, you are seeing a lot of hysteria about marriage being in some sort of huge ditch in the recession. But when you really pull back the lens and look at marriage rates, not just in the last 3 years, or the last 40 years, but since the 1860s, what you see are two very clear trends. One, marriage is in slight decline. Two, divorces are rising slightly. The reason behind this most recently is actually partly a happy story. It's the fact that women are going to school much more than they did in the 1950s or 1960s. And as a result, marriage is being delayed by 5, 6, 7 years as women graduate from college, start their careers, and get on financial footing. The other half of the story that isn't as happy is the fact that if you dig a little deeper and look at the lowest half of female earners, marriage is actually in outright decline. And there are a couple theories for this, but that's really where people should be focusing if they want to look at the decline of this institution.
Let's look at those two different trends, kind of moving in different directions. Women, an increase in marriage rates of highly educated and wealthy women, and the other, this noticeable decline in marriage among poor women. Any theories as to what's behind that?
Sure. Like you said, there are two very different trends. Among the top 10% of female earners, marriage rates are actually going up. And this surprised me, actually. If you look back to 50, 100, 150 years ago, a woman who went to college to get a college degree, I mean, it was practically the equivalent, I said, of a spinster card. Mm-hmm. These women had extremely low marriage rates, below 50% at a time when marriage had a higher share of the population was married. But now those rates we now see are rising. Now, if you look at the bottom half of female earners, you do see that marriage is in outright decline. Over the last 40 years, marriage rates are down 25 percentage points. One of the theories for this is that, if you think about the economics of marriage and you think of marriage as an investment, low-earning women, women with less education, are more likely to be sordid, more likely to be living around men who've had actually even a worse last 50 years when it comes to income and employment. And so since they're more likely to be around men who aren't financially stable, potentially they are more or are less likely to hook up and hitch up with these men and invest essentially the rest of their life in a union with them.
So basically, people don't perceive the need to marry as they once did. As you just pointed out, it used to be kind of insurance policy of financial security for a woman to get married. Men tended to marry in their late 20s, but still, they needed women for housework in many ways. That was the part of the traditional arrangement. Since you've tracked marriage rates over a long period of time, do you see anything consistent with the idea that the current recession has been tough on marriage?
On the one hand, it does suggest, just thinking about it intuitively, one should think that recession should hurt marriage rates. And there is a little bit of evidence that they do. If you're in a long-term relationship and you're thinking about getting married in the next year and suddenly there's a great recession like the one we just suffered, potentially on the margin, you're going to be more likely to say, let's delay this expensive celebration of our union until the economy shapes back up and our investments are looking a little bit better. At the same time, what this study that I looked at from Betsy Stevenson and Justin Wolfers showed was that marriage rates, if you do pull back the lens 50, 100 years, are showing pretty steady decline even through recessions. And recessions don't have the same sort of impact that the media sometimes says that they have. One thing actually to look out for is that when people are comparing marriage rates from today to 50 years ago, the 1960s, the 1960s are actually an extremely strange period of time when it comes to marriage rates. People were getting married extremely early. The average age for men was in the low 20s. The average age for women was 21 or 22. That's completely changed. The average rate for the average age for men getting married now is in the high 20s, and it is also in the high 20s for women. So one of the big factors that we've seen over the last 50 years isn't that people aren't getting married at all. It's that they're putting off marriage for those 7 years where they get educated and start their careers.
Well, that's one of the eye-openers for me here, that this isn't necessarily just attitudes. A lot of this is about economics and education. In fact, your article mentions the social and economic clustering and the influence that that could have on marriage. Now, what is clustering and how might it influence those looking for a partner?
Right. There's been a lot written about the sorting of America, the idea that people who earn a lot of money can afford to live in areas where they are surrounded by people that are like them. And you also see this sort of social and economic sorting happening among in poorer communities as well. And as it affects marriage, the idea is that the social and economic sorting in America creates clusters of people who match up by education, by salary, by politics. And as a result, you know, you might have poorer or undereducated women more likely to be surrounded by men whose wages and employment opportunities have declined dramatically in the last 50 years. And so if that, to women, seems to offer a worse return on the quote-unquote marriage investment, the idea is that they'll turn out just not getting married as much as they have in the last few decades, and they'll find alternative ways of caring for children if they have them, either by being single parents or by engaging in sort of collaborative community, you know, takes a village, raise a child sort of arrangements.
Well, Derek, I want to thank you for your time.
Thanks very much.
Derek Thompson, senior editor with The Atlantic Magazine. There is a link to his article, The Death and Life of Marriage in America. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. And while you're there, drop us a note on how marriage is faring in your cluster. In just a moment, we'll hear about the challenges of attention deficit relationships when word of mouth continues. This is NHPR.